Welcome in. Abbreviated version of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We are live on Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus, and Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And this hour will be brought to you, of course, by Bet365. You can always download us wherever you get your pod. 15 games on tap, the National Hockey League on this Black Friday, wow, day after American Thanksgiving. 8 of those this afternoon. We'll focus on the Toronto Maple Leafs blowing a 3-1 lead, as Sammy has put in my lineup, to the lowly Chicago Blackhawks. 4-3 in overtime. Yeah. Kevin Korchinski with the overtime winner. Wasn't this supposed to be put to bed, that the Leafs give up points during the regular season to these lesser teams? We'll start with you, JB.
I mean, supposed to be put to bed years ago, but it just isn't the reality with this group for whatever reason. And you know what the worst part about that was? The Blackhawks didn't look good. They didn't play well. You know, that was just... Leafs went up 3-1, and we'll just kind of hang on and see this thing through, and you let them hang around. Just really a bad hockey game today. A bad hockey game all around. Wasn't that thrilling? I know it went to overtime, and the OT was pretty exciting, but Leafs didn't play well. It looked like watching an ECHL game where the puck just kept changing directions. Not a pretty sight.
The ideal 3-on-3 of how it ends up looking for the league is what it ended up looking like today,
yeah,
where it's just stretched out, and mayhem. It's going back and forth. There's breakaways. There's 2-on-1s. There's...
Coaches are like, did we have any structure, any plan?
There's Willie Nylander hitting all three irons on the net.
Yep.
So, yeah, it wasn't exactly a Mona Lisa today.
We will obviously put the hour together, focus on this hockey game. We'll maybe get to a podium with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. They are just coming off the ice. Showers, we'll get some sound in. We'll get their thoughts. Is there... any leeway from you guys to suggest, well, they're coming off a tough weekend.
No, don't do this.
There wasn't enough time. They traveled right away. Hey, listen, I'm just...
Yeah.
I'm not even sure I'm buying what I'm saying.
I know.
I'm saying, is there a chance for the narrative to set in as we start getting sound, post-game sound from the podiums that... this was not an easy one for
Let's
us.
Let's kill it right now. Because Morgan Riley himself came out and said, we're back now. That's over. You know, the Detroit Red Wings, did they go to Sweden? Yeah, they did. Then they came home and beat New Jersey. They beat the brakes off them 4-0. Today, they beat the Boston Bruins. So, yeah, we're going to not give them a pass.
Hey, listen. I just threw it out there. Okay?
How dare you suggest
my thoughts.
Like
exactly. These are... professional athletes who are in the prime of their lives, who are paid lots and lots of money to get over things like this. They had 2 days off at the start of the week. They haven't played in a week.
Yeah.
I think that is being put to bed.
Fair expectation.
Okay.
You, Kipper?
Sorry, but
no. I'm not. I don't give him a pass.
Okay.
No, the pass is over. Good. I was just about to ask you in general if Leaf fans don't get to blame John Klingberg in any of this, where do you go first off of what we witnessed over 60-plus minutes?
Yeah, I think that's an important question. You know, there are people who are going to look at this game, Kip, and say the Leafs controlled everything statistically in that game. You know, you go through some of the stats after the game, and I won't bore you with them, but slot shots, high-danger chances. The Leafs blew them out of the water.
I suggested to you earlier that they probably had the majority of those in the first 5-7 minutes of the game.
They did. The game ended with 17-6 in high danger chances, scoring chances for the Leafs. 22-10 in slot shots. So they had plenty of chance to put them away, but they didn't put them away. And I'll go first on playing the blame game, which is their top line. Matthews, Marner, Knies, -2. They were all -2. Nyes to me is really struggling. They couldn't connect on anything out there. This team just feels like if the top guys don't go, it doesn't happen.
For the second consecutive part of our week, we get to spend time together watching a game. Sammy was a lot better. I'll give him a ton of credit.
I mean, towards the end, I was getting a little sour at the end.
Yes, you were.
Yeah. But I got a little fired up.
I give you some window
on that. Thank you.
You had mentioned during the game that you weren't a big fan of Knives on that line and maybe bringing him down.
Yeah, I think you just got to do something to alleviate the pressure. He only played 14 and a half minutes for a guy who's playing on the top line. You can tell the coach doesn't love getting him out there all that much. He just, a lot of hope plays, turnovers. Like, he doesn't seem to be able to, he doesn't have the puck for any extended period of time. I think it's affecting that line's ability to have the puck a lot in the offensive zone. And I don't know who it is, but it just, that's not working for me right now. Do you see that, or am I on an island there?
You guys know where I've stood with Matthew
Knies.
I know
Knies. You love the player.
I love the player.
And I do too.
But too much too soon. There's often, I see Matthews and Marner change. He's still out there. Mm-hmm. And I just think that at times, putting a guy that fresh out of college with a responsibility to run shotgun with $10 million players on a number one line on a team that's supposed to contend for a Stanley Cup might be too much to bite off.
Yeah, you know, there's a chance there where they're kind of on a two-on-one, him and Marner, and instead of him skating in, like, he has a clean lane to look and to shoot, he's kind of trying to get it to Marner and sift something through, getting cute, and it's like, it just, you mentioned the time that maybe the pressure of playing those guys, like, he wants to get it to them, and yeah, that's probably not his natural setting.
I think when it first started, it would just came firing out of the gates, and it was so good. Like, didn't he score two in the first game? Where he was really good in the top line for the first couple games with them. And I think it's just gonna, it's a lot. Like Kipper said, it's too much too soon. This kid's up there. It's, at some point, you're gonna feel it.
Yeah.
And he's starting to feel it now. And I think it's either do you ride it out and hope it goes back up the other way, or do you put him down a little bit, give him a bit of a break, and then try it back up there later? Because yeah, I don't know which way you go.
And I just don't know who you would replace him with.
Well, I guess it would be Bertuzzi, but you don't want to do that to the second line because they've looked good, but now he's finally starting to come around. Is it
he's
time
playing
to go
better
back
and that
up?
Line didn't score might be the yeah, opening to do it.
Yeah.
Toronto Maple Leafs once again dropping a 4-3 game against the lowly Chicago Blackhawks in overtime. If you're just joining us, Real Kipper and Bourne, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Where are we on Samsonov? We had a conversation earlier this week on where would we go on back-to-back games. I had suggested that that I would like to have seen Samsonov mm-hmm, against Pittsburgh, but I'm yeah, not sure now based on the fact that
you might have 2 points if you did.
We saw some progression in Samsonov's game come out of Sweden. Was this afternoon a setback for you?
Not just a setback, but it like reframed Sweden for me, where the game he was in, he didn't see a ton of challenging shots and still let in one you didn't love. But that Dickinson one was a killer.
The first one.
That Dickinson one. He had three. The first one, yeah. It's 1-0. I think it was saying slot shots are 11-0 Leafs. They're humming. And just a low angle.
Short side.
Like, just that is the type of thing that when you're not getting goaltending, it's deflating. It's just like, ugh.
It legitimately looked like it went through his blocker.
Yeah.
Like it was just, it should have hit him right in the middle of the leaf, and it just somehow went in.
Yeah.
And it does kind of feel that that changed it.
Yeah.
Like I know they
Then it was like they're going to hang around.
Yes, for sure. But no, it wasn't a good night for him.
I get a body language from him where I can almost feel if he feels he's good and feeling it and in a rhythm. Like we've seen so many signs over the course of last season and in that Tampa Bay Lightning series where like good Sammy.
Yeah.
And we just there just hasn't been any stretches right from day one in training camp here. Mm-hmm. And today early and especially off that Dickinson goal, it's like that there was no concern last year about him like that. Not yeah, like where we're seeing him this season.
Does feel different. It does. And, you know, it I think people maybe think that sometimes we come in here and react off the outcome, but, you know, we discussed a lot of during that game, even when it was 3-1 for the Leafs, we were saying he's given up three tonight. Like it was, we openly were discussing how the Leafs were going to have to get to four because just he wasn't hanging on to rebounds. He wasn't freezing the puck. He was scrambling. You feel it with him a little bit in game that it's like, man, you don't trust this guy tonight. And I think that probably affects how they defend a bit at times.
Yeah. You just can tell very early.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the case with all goalies. I feel like maybe it is a little bit of that, but you could tell quite early. And I guess when you let in a stinker like that, it's pretty easy to say that, but no, he is very, you can tell what it's going to kind of be like. And it just is an existence as a fan when every puck is going towards your net, regardless of the part of the ice it's coming from, that it has a chance to go in. It's not a very fun thing to watch. And I that's the way I felt today.
We've got a 1 hour show here on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. It's the Leaf edition. So send us your text if you're out there, a little frustrated.
Yeah, team reaction here. What did you
love
think?
On this Friday?
You guys want to take some calls?
590-590.
I do not.
Where do you live, Sammy? So I can say we've got Sammy from where?
Oh, yeah.
Toronto.
West End.
From the West End.
Same one,
the West
End. Too specific there.
Yeah. Willie Nylander's streak ends, and it was flirting as one of the better ones to start an NHL season in history.
Yeah.
What did you see out of Willie and Tavares? We commented on Marner and Matthews. Did they finish minus two, those guys?
Yeah. Who's that?
Matthews and
they
Marner.
They were minus two, yeah.
You just can't have that against the Chicago Blackhawks.
No. Willie's line was pretty, not much to it. They were even. Tavares had five shots, which was sneaky. I didn't really see that, but I didn't even really notice them a ton. They opened the game really good, couple of chances, loved Bertuzzi in the first period, and then I thought just kind of went away. Obviously, Willie had the chance in OT to extend his point streak and to get him the win there, but I don't know. I just pretty ho-hum game from them, I thought.
Yeah, I would like to see in a game like this, and I think Marner and Matthews know, it's not even like they were overwhelming with chances or like they just felt like they were not pushing against a team where it's like they're not even borderline AHL team.
No, you're just waiting for it to happen. This is what I mean about the top guys. It's like, it's not, they're an okay team that has three of the best players in the world, and you think at some point they're going to get those chances, and when they don't come,
I don't know.
It's a close game.
Again, you're the analytic guy, and I'm sure there's maybe a list out there. There might be some numbers that would suggest I'm either don't know what I'm talking about or supports this comment that it just seems that, and tonight or this afternoon was another prime example where I saw Chicago a lot with the puck.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where it compares to years prior on Matthews and Marner. If they just have the puck less.
Chicago had more ozone possession time than Toronto tonight. So I mentioned the slot shots and all the Leafs dominant and all those things. Chicago actually had the puck more in their end.
Like Marner just doesn't have, this season, Marner doesn't appear to be having as much success as we've seen him over a very long and prosperous career as a Toronto Maple Leaf. This feels to me like this is the least amount I've seen him with the puck on his stick
involved. I said to you tonight, I can't remember the last time he would have played 18 minutes. It has happened a couple times this month, but, you know, in the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games, he has 4 games with no points, Mitch Marner. Like, that seems impossible for a guy who's a 100-point player. You're right. He just hasn't seemed as involved 18-15 tonight.
Which, like, turning the puck over a ton today.
Yeah, him and Matthews turned the puck over.
Well, the one Dickinson's, I think, tying goal early in the third period.
The McCabe bump out.
The McCabe, and we've seen them with that bump out time and time again.
It's not always the right play.
But I don't know. Sometimes it just feels like, and it was to Matthews, that the team, and I'll maybe point the finger at Marner a little bit here too. Like, the constant trying to get him the puck maybe is just too predictable now.
Yeah, if that's what you think it is, that it's him there instead of someone else. But, you know, when I talk about this team looking to get these guys, you know, they either go or the team doesn't win, you could see why they'd be like, well, we better get it to them then. But they get goals tonight from Robertson, Yarncroc, and Ryan Reeves.
Yeah,
Ryan Reeves scored, fellas. And, you know, they couldn't get one from their big four guys. So probably the difference.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things that you come off this game. And if, like you said, you like don't want to be like Mr. Negative, but they just felt like the worries that you had with this team just really showed up. Play down to a bad team, which they've loved to do.
Mm-hmm.
The top guys, you know, when they don't get it going, they kind of lose. And even though they did get some contributions, and their D core is just like, you know, how many conversations we have in the boardroom about their D.
Well, Connor Timmins is so nice to have him back at 1.1, you know, a pretty good player, but he's essentially John Klingberg, but cheaper. If you have to have Klingberg, you'll take him at 1-1 instead of 4-1, so that's an upgrade. But
I saw some defensive hiccups, another one was him and who's his partner?
Lagesson,
both getting caught behind the net, which it's not like we've never seen that before, but when you got one guy really with his head down fishing for the puck like Timmins, it makes it a lot easier for a team like Chicago to score.
Yeah.
And listen, I get he had a really good training camp and he produced a lot of points.
And he hasn't played them
before he got hurt. But that's pretty consistent on where he's been challenged in his NHL career as a defenseman.
Yeah, it is.
In his own zone.
Yeah, I would say that it was pretty consistent with what I saw last season from Connor Timmins.
Yeah, that looked like about like what he looks like.
Yeah, it's not like it's like, oh, that guy was off for a really long time. Kind of just, that's what I remember him looking like. And you know, we joked about the new toy thing where it's like, oh, you know, I'm interested to see what Connor Timmins is like. Oh, yeah.
That's the toy we had. Refurbished.
I'm familiar with this.
Ryan Reeves did get that goal. Do you want to talk about the fourth line?
Yeah, for sure. 9 minutes, 38 seconds of ice time, which I don't know, probably is right around his average. I mean, there's no question that Sheldon Keefe has tried his best to keep him involved to start the season. It spiraled downhill with the constant dashes. Got a goal today. You could see the relief on him. We heard him in a first intermission interview about the weight of the world coming off his shoulders. And then we got into the third period. You know, as we watched together, I mentioned to you that this is where a third or fourth line may need to kind of slow it down a little bit. Chicago's coming on, and sure enough, Reeves got involved. Gregor got involved. It may have not saved the game, but at least it gave a different look than the one that suggested, oh, let's just wait for Mitch or Austin or Nylander to make a great one-on-one goal.
It felt like a timeout. Remember I said at that point, like when they were up 3-2, I said they need a timeout. They need to just like have a moment, and that kind of provided a little break.
And at the end,
of course, they still don't get it done. But
you pulled Seth Jones off the ice because of it.
Yeah.
And it ended up being a pretty good trade, even albeit for 2 minutes. But, you know, Seth Jones is
useful
and can skate a puck out of his own zone.
Yeah, and we also said prior to Reeves scoring, he had played his best game as
for
a league.
Sure.
He had been a useful contributor for them
and
too. So
yeah, it felt like he missed way more games just because of the long stretch.
It's been 2 weeks they played twice.
So he missed 3 games.
Yeah.
Right? Like he missed the Saturday night against the Canucks and then the 2 in Sweden and then he's back in. So it's not like he was out for a ton of games. It just felt so long because it was like a month between games.
If you're McMahon in the press box, you're going, he scores.
But then he ends up even.
Yeah, he did end up even. No plus for him.
Derek Brandeo, do we have some sound coming out of the game? All right, let's go to Sheldon Keefe for our first Kippers Clipper.
Sheldon, the team seemed to be in control for much of the night. As you reflect on it, how did the extra point get away from you guys?
Didn't score enough early on our chances. Probably could have had two or three in the first few minutes of the game and didn't capitalize there. You know, and then just didn't give up a lot here today. It's among the least scoring chances we've given up on the season, but they scored 3 goals basically where we have the puck on our sticks in our end, and then it's in our net. So that just made it easier for them.
For the Matthews line, what made it tough for them to get traction today offensively?
Yeah, they just it wasn't the right time to have it.
Yeah, Nick Robertson out there in overtime, he scored, and we've seen from
the right back. Domi Robertson gave us a lot here today. You know, that line was good. Yarncroc was good. You know, most of the night they were chasing him around with Bedard, and I thought they just still did a good job with that matchup, scored early for us. I guess we're trying to give them a chance to win the game there. It was all face-off, which Max won. Didn't work out for us. Those guys had a good game for us.
Interesting to erupt when Ryan Reese scored a goal. Is that mean for some of your teammates' confidence to get
one? Yeah, huge. Guys are happy for him. It was great to see, too. It shows the impact he's having on the group, and the guys are pulling for him. I thought he had a good night tonight.
With the too many men penalties, are you starting to lose patience with that, or is this more circumstantial stuff that you're seeing?
No, I've lost patience.
How do you address it?
I've already addressed it.
Is your view of Nylander's near miss there in the overtime?
Yeah, it just looked like it wasn't right, you know?
There was a lot of talk about the energy levels just with coming off Sweden. What was your sense of the group? Was that a factor at all tonight?
I don't think so. We had two of our best practices all season in terms of pace and tempo, competitiveness. So it showed me that the guys are past that. So let's not go there here tonight. That's not it.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, Sheldon.
He didn't love it.
I've cut a lot of Sheldon Keefe, and there's most nights he'll give you the time of day. Most nights he's very professional, and he gives you long, drawn-out thoughts. Today was not one of
those.
He's
trying to get back to the video.
He was sour.
But he didn't.
It wasn't good.
He wasn't rude, but you can just tell.
No, he wasn't. But at some point he's going to have to dig a little deeper and send at least a public message that, okay, we're closing in on a quarter of a season here. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a handful of games that I've liked. I mean,
it's tough, right? They're coming off four straight wins. They're playing tomorrow.
You lost to Chicago.
Yeah.
Please tell me you're a little bit more upset. Just a tad.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, too. I mean, saying about a too many men where you lead the league now, it's been addressed. Would I like them to say, that's on me. That's my bench. And I know we've had this conversation before. Just, he's got to wear that a little bit more.
Which side? I think you're
the coach. I just totally disagree. Like, you know, in that moment, he's telling the guys who's up next. If they change like a-holes, which they did, you know, it's like, I don't know, you're going to hold the guys until it's time to go. Like, it's...
Can I gripe about the... Give me a quick second on the gripe.
Sure.
I think that it was a too many men, obviously. But I think it's just... It had zero bearing on the game. There's a bat, like the puck doesn't go deep. They go off. No one touches it. That's supposed to... It has zero bearing
on
the game. I understand.
It's a sign of an undisciplined team.
I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying.
See, that particular call didn't feel like it was too many.
Not even that one. And I'm not just talking about the Leafs.
That's a thousand times that's getting called.
I understand
that. Did it have an effect on the game?
I'm talking more of the rule. I watch hockey all the time. I see too many men's in other games.
We got a suggestion box at the door. just, you know.
It's a ticky-tack thing.
Write it up and I'll look at it later on.
It's a ticky-tack thing. Zero bearing on the game. Fair. It's like an offside review where they go back 15 minutes to check it. Zero bearing.
It needs to be cleaned up. And that's your bench.
Yeah.
Those are your guys. It's your bench. It's your responsibility.
Like, you know, he has lost his patience with it and has addressed it. You know, whatever that means. Stop it.
I wonder what that conversation would be. Like, you guys got to get your heads out of your, you know, and
the Bruce Boudreau.
Yeah, just
a lot of swearing. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Stop it.
Yeah,
he seems to be good with the Domi Robertson Yarncroc line.
Yeah, and I was.
I mean, they're
too,
doing everything. I think that they're
didn't need him out there in OT for a minute and a half.
Yeah, I kind of question that too,
or at all.
You're trying to. Trying to keep up with the Joneses, the Bostons, and the Florida Panthers here. The extra point would have been nice. I'm not sure I would have had him out there. I'd rather take my chances of a shootout with my guys than give up a guy with inexperience.
To be fair, those guys were way better than the top guys in this game.
They were better. You know, Robertson has an OT winner last year against Dallas. I guess the other aspect, and I said this earlier in the game when we were watching, is 3 minutes left and they had the fourth line out there. Keefe had the fourth line out there. We saw the Legison and Timmins pair. And I said, you know, it's game 18. Like, it's a close game against the worst team in the league or the second worst team in the league in game 18. You got to give guys a chance to play in high-pressure moments.
You have to play.
You got to play. You got to play and learn your way through some of this. And it also exposes, like, they're just not deep enough. They're just not deep enough. They're a pretty good team. They're in the top third, but they're not. They're missing some pieces here.
Yeah. I give Robertson full credit here. He's
good game. Five shots.
He's scrapping right now. He's fighting tooth and nail for every inch he gets, for every puck he can get to the net. And he's starting to build something. Mm-hmm. I'm just not sure in the long term where you see this thing headed. Is it to the point where his stock's high enough that you move him? That's got to be where you're heading. Is there any world of yours that envisions game one of the Stanley Cup final or Stanley Cup playoffs, and your third line is Domi, Robertson, and Yarncroc?
No.
Oh, you didn't even let me finish that sentence.
No.
You didn't even let me spit it out.
No.
No.
No, there's none.
Okay.
They can't defend. They're not physical enough. It's not. You need a purpose, right? With every group, like the top lines are clearly go control the puck, you know, outscore the other lines, be our guys, whatever. The fourth line, you'd like them to be physical, forecheck, be able to defend. We want to trust you in the D zone. The third line has to have some utility. And right now it's kind of trade chances, and maybe we'll get them some nights and maybe we won't other nights. You go up against the best teams in the league. You can't have a maybe line, a hope line. You know, I've talked to Domi, some turnovers. Yeah. Robertson's kind of a hope guy.
I thought Domi's passing was really good tonight.
I think he has seven assists in the last seven games. He's like, he's getting on the board.
But he's passing so much.
Now getting outscored by Reeve.
Well,
I know that's his, I know. It's not a joke.
I think
it's actually correct.
He's got to work on finding the best opportunity to get a puck to the net too.
Yeah.
And sometimes if he's feeling it so much with, you know, his dad used to call himself the dishing magician.
I'm sorry, Ty called himself that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes we'd be
dishing right hooks.
Oh, even in practice.
Even in practice,
we'd go down the ice and, you know, I'd end up finishing off a play and he's like, you got it from the dishing magician.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
So is it to the point where he's so confident right now moving the puck that it's his first instinct to just keep doing it?
Sure. He's got 11 assists in 18 games. As a third liner, that's a fine output. But, you know, I look at his career stats. He's got 121 goals in almost 600 games, 598 games. That's about a goal every five games. You know, he's almost played 20. He hasn't, I don't know how many shots the guy has, but it doesn't feel like there's moments where he's almost there. So
had a really good chance in OT. That if he had had a little bit of his footing better, he could have cut to the backhand, maybe had it kind of pushed it on net a bit. But
he has 23 shots in 18 games now, like just over one per game.
Yeah.
And how many minutes did that line end up getting, JB?
Robertson didn't play very much. Robertson was 1240. Domi was 1251. And then Yarncroc was 1415.
Because he took a couple shifts with the fourth line. So that probably on the penalty kill as well. Well, why don't we do a break? We'll do game time when we come back.
All right.
How's that sound?
More to come on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show as the Toronto Maple Leafs drop a 4-3 overtime loss to the Chicago Blackhawks. Game time is up next. You're listening and watching Real Kipper and Bourne.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The JD Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. The one-hour version of our show. Sammy, it's game time.
It's quick, this hour. Yep, it's game time. I'm going to get my... It's Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Got two games I'm looking at for tonight. Two really good ones. Lightning visiting the Hurricanes.
Mm.
And the Lightning are pretty big underdogs. Plus 140 tonight in Carolina. And if you'll remember correctly, something we discussed yesterday or didn't discuss, Andre Vasilevsky returns to the net tonight for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So pretty big, pretty good value on Tampa, really. I know they're probably worried about what Vasilevsky's going to look like in his return, but plus 140 is pretty good.
Do we know that if Vasilevsky's injury was related to anything that was built up over the last, I don't know, 12 months? Like, was there a chance that...
Got a sunburn from the red light in the first round from the Leafs.
Yeah, like, or was this something that, came on in the summer? Like, where's Vasilevsky for you?
Do you think it's Scottie Pippen? Do you think it's, I'm not messing up my summer? Just,
is there a chance that he ends up looking a lot more human on his return?
And there's then a chance.
The first time we've really seen him look human against the Toronto Maple Leafs last spring in the first round.
Yeah, and the Leafs really took advantage, if you remember, from distance, right? A lot of shots through screens and traffic.
They just asked Derek Lalonde about it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was the they knew he was weak there or something like that, right?
Not to look back totally on that, but he is probably the main reason the Leafs won that series.
Yeah, that and Samsonov was pretty good.
Vasilevsky was legitimately terrible for most of that series, so he must have been really hurt or... Like, I mean, he's played so much hockey.
But you do wonder if there is some cumulative effect of all these deep runs and 60-game seasons and whatever. And this is the Leafs fans are going, could he be bad now? That would be really nice.
That'd be really nice.
Probably not the case.
And go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, though, like, the other part is that that blue line has not looked anywhere near what we've seen in the past. And if we can just go back to one major reason, Ryan McDonagh. And maybe Ryan was maybe on hole number 14 or 15 in his career.
Yeah.
But
he's logged.
He had a horse in front of him for many of those championships.
Yeah, and you know, Sergachev hasn't looked, you know, quite to his value. Nick Perbix is on the top pair, which you know, Calvin DeHaan is not great. So yeah, they're a little soft on the back end. Ian Cole was pretty good for them.
Sergachev. There's sometimes you look up and you're like, okay, where is he? Where is he going?
Well, we've often been like, oh, the Leafs would love a guy with that attitude and that skill or whatever. If he played here, people would eat him alive. He would make you crazy.
Analytically, yeah, he's his numbers aren't good.
He's dash 13 this year.
Is he really?
Yeah.
I think they're typically pretty good. It's just that he's one of those big error guys to me. You know, the like, what was that?
Yeah, he can have a hiccup with the best of them.
Yeah. So, he's had more hiccups this year than good moments. But I will say, Sammy and I shared a video of, instead of handing out like a belt or something ridiculous, they hand out a cold Miller Lite for their player of the game.
They just clearly love each other, and it breaks my heart. They sent out a video, and it was like, was it Acemont, the guy they got from the Sharks?
Yeah, they like him too. Acemont's pretty good.
And he was given like the player of the game speech. He's like, oh, maybe hopefully a day off tomorrow. And he looks at Coop, and Coop's a big like, smile on his face.
Right behind him.
Yeah. Right, gets a big smile on his face. And he gives
even a smile. It's like, what do you think?
And he's like, practice tomorrow at 10:30.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, oh, they love each other. No, not this again. Anyways, the other game I was looking at for tonight quickly and game time is another good one. Jets and Panthers. Jets, you got pretty good value on them tonight, plus 115 heading into Florida. So that's the other one I have, and that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only, player responsible.
It's funny now that, especially in Canada, where the focus was on the Leafs and Edmonton to start, then... Boom, Vancouver gets off to this amazing start, and then they suck the majority of the oxygen, you know, in the country, and well-earned. But then there's just, like, Winnipeg just slowly kind of minding their own business.
Winnipeg's won 7 of their last 8, I think.
Don't talk about us, and we'll just start accumulating all these points and, you know, just leave us alone. We'll do our thing here.
Plus 10 goal differential, 1-4 in a row. All right. Don't mind us. Plus money in Florida.
So you guys want some texts?
Oh yeah, let's talk to the people.
Boys, I got a hard hitter right out of the gate here.
Okay, I love this stuff.
Sammy, it's Friday.
This is a hard hitter.
All our visas are maxed out right now on Black Friday.
Yeah. I didn't even look at one sale. I didn't even, you know.
I guess it's the American blood in me.
When you have it all, boys, you don't need to.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Hey, boys. Jameis here. Jameis bought Sportsnet Plus just to watch you guys live every day.
No.
Good. That's the review we need.
Yes.
What do you think Sportsnet will give us? Like 15% of that sale?
For
commission
sure.
sale?
Definitely.
20%?
Yeah.
Let me check my wallet here.
Yeah, keep your hand out and wait.
I love the show. This is a great way to get a text read. Okay. Curious if you think Marner is right for this Leafs team. Regular season and playoffs have shown he has always been two different players. Would they be better off to use his salary when able to bulk up on a different style of player?
Such a Tuesday text. That is such a Tuesday topic. You really got to dig in on and have stats and opinions and call people. You know? Kip?
I'll go first. I got no problem.
Please do, yeah.
He is my most reliable out of all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay?
I think that's most consistent, what you're going to get.
My first thought is that this is the guy that can help me at both ends of the ice. I'm okay with him killing penalties. I know the risks and all of that, but I think he could still do that and score 100 points.
Mm-hmm.
The question is that if you do sign Willie and you feel like one has to go, then you automatically go to Mitch Marner, right? Tavares is going to fall off the cliff in a year and a half or 2 years and maybe come back and take a third line position for, I don't know, $2.5-3 million, whatever.
God, that sounds
750K?
Maybe, whatever. Retirement.
He's going to score 80 points.
Go on the Joe Thornton program. Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
But where you're going to get the most value to significantly change your lineup is Mitch Marner. That guy's going to get you a boatload because there would be teams willing to change their look for a guy like that.
Leon Draisaitl.
So the question is I'm not sure where I feel about if I had to pick Willie or Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
If it was my team, I'd probably move Nylander over Mitch Marner. But if they make the decision to keep Willie, then I know that Mitch Marner would bring you back a return, especially if Mitch waves his no move, and you can significantly change your team, especially on the back end.
You know, I do feel like Mitch has the most potential to come back and burn you.
Yes.
Were you to ever move
him. The haunt factor is high.
Yeah, like he could just figure it out one playoff run and have, you know, whatever, 2 points per game and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I think of that question, I think, like, Phil Kessel went and won Stanley Cups. Like, you don't have to be Tom Wilson to get a Stanley Cup. You know, is he the guy that's going to drive the team we've seen in the playoffs? He isn't. It doesn't mean he's not going to have a year where it happens. He hasn't done that yet. You know, I think it's kind of crazy to sit here and be like, no, you can't move him. You shouldn't consider doing other things. Certainly, you consider all options. It's just... anytime you're trading one of the league's 10 best players or whatever you think Marner is, 15 best, you're probably going to lose the trade. So it would scare me to death to do that.
The one thing is abundantly clear, and they've tripled down on it, though, but the majority of us believe that they've gone way over the top in proving that they can't win with them, all of them.
We can't, and we will.
So they're trying it again, and we'll see where it plays out. But can't go next year with all four of them again.
If you watch a playoff round this year where the top guys get bogged down, they have a ton of attention, they get bogged down, they can't score at the same rate, the Leafs lose, they're going to run Brendan Shanahan out of town. You know, what is the perception that he's the one who wants this band to stay together, I think, right? Tree Living's new.
I guess he's the president.
Right.
I mean, the buck stops with him.
Right. Whether it's, maybe if it's not Shanahan, then it's Tree Living. I'm just saying fans will not be okay with watching the same guys run into the same wall.
Okay. If we rewind our show at the beginning, 2 years ago. We kind of had the same conversation two years ago.
But I haven't been on that page. I haven't been on that page that these guys can't and won't win.
And where are you now?
That if it happens again, I'm going to be yelling.
So what's the desired length of them playing into the spring for it to be okay?
You know, that's a great question. And I think if they make it to the conference final and those guys play really well, then you go, okay, they can win you rounds. They can play well in the playoffs. They can beat teams. So maybe it's that. But yeah. I don't know.
What are we watching though? What are we watching now? Are they proving that they can't win already with those guys now? Or are you going to need it to see it in April when it may be too late to change anything for this season?
You can't tell me that when they win and have success, show me in the playoffs, Justin. Show me in the playoffs. And then say that, you know, when they're not playing well in the regular season, now it matters.
But they look,
it either does now or it doesn't now. You can't have both.
They look worse than they did last year at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, their record is okay. Yeah. But in terms of hockey, it's been much worse. Yeah. There's no question.
Yeah, it's...
That would scare me if I'm a Leaf fan.
Me too. And I will say,
The
fancy little chart that I look at on SportLogic, every day I open it up and there's an axis of where, you know, top right is good. Last year, they were always in that top right. This year, they're kind of towards the middle. You know, like that's expected goals for and against that chart. And
heading south.
They're not amongst the elite teams really at much. They're fine. They're good. They got elite players, but their whole team statistically... not grading out quite as high as it used to.
I got to think that answer was so worth getting Sportsnet Plus.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good.
Is it time to try Robertson on the first line? He's got lots of energy. Thanks.
We just want those guys to have the puck, and Matthews just needs someone else shooting it every time they touch it.
I mean, if it's the showcase.
Okay, hold on.
He's never looked better than he does right now.
Who asked that question?
They didn't put a name.
Okay.
Jason Robertson in Dallas.
Where are we on, like, where is Robertson's ceiling here? Like, what can he, do you ever envision to the viewer's question of him ever being a guy that could play on a number one line one day? Or are we past that?
Robertson?
He's just such a good shooter, and he has such a good offensive nose for the net. I hate to write a 22-year off who shoots it like he does.
When he came off a 50-goal season in Peterborough.
55, yep.
55, don't want to cheat him
no,
on the
no,
five.
No, no, no,
just
no.
Just like when people say, how many goals did you score in North Bay? Like 60, right? And I'm like, no, 62.
Yeah,
right?
Is it 62?
Cheat me the two.
I didn't know. I've been thinking 60.
Don't cheat me the two.
60 in the O, baby.
When he came off his 55, he was taken to the top of the prospect list.
Mm-hmm. He took himself there.
And he was now the darling that was going to be the next great scorer for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Obviously, injuries played a part, couldn't stay healthy. But is there anyone that still envisions that happening?
Here are the names I worry about when I think of Nick Robertson and trading him. Cole Caulfield and Alex DeBrincat. Because they're smaller guys who don't control the play, but when they get near it, they shoot it in the hockey net.
I don't have them anywhere near that class.
I don't have them there either. So if you're not a 40-goal version of that and you're a 20-goal version of that and you don't do anything else...
Is the best-case scenario that you build this guy's stock high enough where someone wants to take a chance on him?
But what better way to do that than to get back to the original texter's text... Put him on the top line
for
a couple
games. Have
you
been listening to Nick Kipper? Yeah, no. All that line doesn't pass the puck for a lick.
No.
He's not going to touch it.
Martin will pass it to him.
Well, Mitch doesn't get to get
they
to shoot
They got a
it.
Shooter. They got a real good shooter on that line already.
Yeah. You know what's funny, too, is like Nyes is a bit of a shooter, right? Like maybe that's not helping Matthews. I think he naturally would be consider himself a shooter. They do. They have a lot of shooters. You know, if you're looking to improve this offense and you watch this show, then I would think you would say, could we grab a facilitator at the deadline, which is going to be cheaper than a goal scorer? Can we grab another couple dishers, which should make Domi more valuable, by the way, that we're talking about a lot of shooters.
All right, Sammy, what else you got? You got one more?
Just reading through here. I think Sammy says we got
1 million texts.
We do. I'm just kind of
reading. Let me ask you guys, let's kind of go back to Ryan Reeves.
Mm.
We had a conversation earlier this week, and I told you if you're going to put him in any game, you'll put him in Chicago, right? It's kind of the feeling, and yeah. I think Sheldon felt the same way.
Mm-hmm. Get him back in.
Scored a goal, got involved physically, tried to change a little bit of energy, momentum. That's the kind of look that Leaf fans have been looking for the first 20 games, and they've only had just a whisker of it.
Mm-hmm.
What does Sheldon do with him tomorrow night?
Mm. I don't think he can score a goal and take Seth Jones off the ice and then you take him out. Like, that's, he did exactly what he's paid to do in that game. Played 9 minutes.
I'll tell you who's playing tomorrow night.
I don't think he's playing tomorrow night.
Really? I would play him. I mean, I know
it's all better with Bobby McMahon. I'm facing a much better team at passing the puck.
And you know what else? There's no dance partner for him.
I just, like, McMahon, to me, to leave McMahon out of the lineup for Ryan Reeves against the Pittsburgh Penguins is just wrong.
The Penguins' fourth line is Jeff Carter, Matthew Nieto, and Noel Achary.
I think it's a perfect,
it's a good line.
I think tomorrow night's a perfect example of just saying that Ryan Reeves, your insurance for us, we'll put you in when we need you, but it's not going to be consistent. You're not, whatever vision they had that this guy was going to play every game on the fourth line has just got to be wiped out right now. Pick and choose mm-hmm. when you want him in, and he's just going to have to be a pro about it. And I think it's fine. I think that could still work.
Yeah, and also, he's 36 years old. I don't think it's unreasonable to say it's a back-to-back. You know, like, we play Gio because we don't have anyone else.
Yeah.
But we don't, we'd like, you know, given the option, we do have options, we don't want to play a back-to-back.
You're coming off a very disappointing game in Chicago to come back and play legends.
Yeah.
You got to dress the best lineup possible.
And the loss also puts you in a position to say, hey, we were keeping you out because winning, you stay in. We were on a winning streak. This is a loss. Yeah. You know, we're allowed to change it up here.
He probably feels a lot more part of the team right now than he did before.
For sure.
Right? Like, scores a goal. Everybody was happy for him. He gets in a scrap or whatever that was.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, he's more, he contributed more in that game than he has all season. So it's probably an easier conversation to have with him now than it was.
Yeah.
When he hasn't played in 3 weeks.
For sure. I agree with that. Got one more?
Nah, we got nothing left.
All right. Fair enough. We got 8 hockey games tonight on the schedule.
Oh, some already done. I wanted to talk about Trouba quickly.
Oh, that's a great. Yes, I want to talk about that too.
Trouba, if you haven't seen it yet, you're driving around. Trouba was Nick Delorier, who probably was the toughest guys in the league.
One of them,
top five. Was
not facing Trouba. The play, just facing Trouba, like, trying to get him to
grabbing
fight.
Him, fighting him, and then you, like, see Trouba's eyes light up, and he goes in.
And he hits another teammate anyways.
Skates away from Delorier and plows the next Hathaway. Biggest guy Hathaway. On Philly, Hathaway.
And it's like, he wasn't even going very fast.
No.
Like, it wasn't like, it's just all brute strength, and he smoked him. I love Trouba. I love him.
Yes. No, it's a clean hit.
We always, in my era, we always labeled Scott Stevens like the best open ice checker, and Trouba's
easily the best.
Among the best ever.
Yeah.
Agree.
Well, and this hit is so impressive because he is unfazed by the bear trying to bite him, and he goes and attacks a bobcat while it's happening. Like, that's, you used to say that about people. You didn't, you're like, I fight people like you in the way to fights. Like, that was his dismissal of the Laurier.
And they only gave up one again.
A big portion this week of our show we had on our national hour was the Edmonton Oilers. Maybe a little love for them for a 5-0 win to close out this week for them.
You don't want the regression to happen in one game.
It's about time.
Can we spread the regression out as we get better? Yes, it is about time.
Draisaitl, 3 points. Hyman, 3 points. McDavid, I think 4 assists.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. So it was a good week. You know what's
not
happening here?
Good day.
Good day. You know what's happening too? Ovechkin, it's not happening this year, guys, for them. There's going to be a lot more talk about Ovi in the next week. You
probably
watch.
Save the league, so.
All right. Our thanks to no guests today.
No thanks.
What a job booking by me.
Yeah.
Crashed it today.
We did. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening all week. Give us a rating and review if you get a chance. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for being there always for us. Real Kipper and Bourne. We'll see you on Monday.